the fields of bodies burning, as the war machine keeps turning, death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
Hi, this is Bob Petrakis, bringing you the other side of the news.
And I'm Dan Dugan, the other guy on the other side. WGRN, the Green Renaissance.
Hi, this is Dr. Bob Petrakis, bringing you the other side of the news. We haven't spoken in great detail since the State of the Union address, but some of you may have seen the Trump tape, the video, where he begins. He loves to go to rallies. First things we should settle. Trump has that great fascist Mussolini Hitler tendency where he likes large rallies. So he went to a rally, you know, to play to his base, and he calls the Democrats, who didn't clap for him, he calls them, quote, un-American twice. They're un-American for not clapping. Now, not that it wasn't impressive that Donald Trump could read a teleprompter without making too many errors. Many of us doubted that he had the ability to read simple sentences. But just because he didn't make that many errors on a teleprompter doesn't mean that the opposition party or any elected representative has to clap for him. How does that make you un-American? And most of you who know your history realize the term un-American comes from the bleak black night, the repressive period known as the Second Red Scare or McCarthyism, and also where there was a House on Un-American Activities Committee. Can you think of anything more un-American than to set up a committee that travels around the country questioning people to see if what they're doing is un-American? And now you've got Trump coming back. And it should be no surprise because there is a connection. The key attorney for McCarthy during this period when you had the House Un-American Activities Committee and McCarthy in the Senate as its counterpart was Roy Cohn. That was Trump's personal attorney. Remember, he is said to have yelled, "Where's my Roy Cohn?" So the famed attorney that repressed Americans and wrecked careers and had people thrown in jail. That's what Donald Trump is thinking about. Well, beyond that, someone from the audience, of course, because, you know, he panders to jackals and yahoos, screamed out, "They're treasonous." And Trump went along with that. Yeah. Treasonous. Let's go along with that. So now if you don't clap during a poorly done speech read from a teleprompter from a second-rate Mussolini, a Mussolini wannabe, Donald Trump, you're now treasonous. Oh, what's the definition of treason, Dr. Petrakis? Giving aid or comfort to the enemy. What is going on here? We need to think about this. Take a look again at classic studies of fascism. Lawrence Britt's famous 14 points of fascism. But at the crux of fascism is a mindless nationalism. My country, right or wrong. My Führer. El Duce, the great leader, right or wrong. That's what Trump wants. That's what Donald Trump is after. and he's pandering to his base. And as part of that, in order to have fascism, Trump's preferred way of ruling, and also recall another aspect of that, the nationalism, the supremacy of the military. Now Trump, the whatever, five-time draft-dodging deferment guy with bone spurs, who never served, another one of these gutless chicken hawks who are pro-war, like poor people's kids to die. Now he wants the military to stage a Kim Jong-un, Joe Stalin, Mussolini, Hitler style parade. You know we're headed to fascism when they make the military go out with their jackboots and march in the street. That's what Trump wants. So, that's what's happening out there. And all of this is tied, as fascism usually is, to scapegoats. And what's the scapegoat? Immigrants. That's why you ban several countries, their citizens, from coming to the U.S., even though they've never attacked you, because you're scapegoating. You're saying, here's the enemy, Islamic people, and those Mexicans that Trump has been after and targeting. And by the way, we have one that some of you already know about here in Columbus, Ohio, Edith Espinal, who remains in sanctuary up at the Columbus Mennonite Church. So, on September 26th, she was given orders to be deported as part of the bad Mexicans, even though she's got two children born here. She's a productive citizen. Her husband's here. Trump and ICE want to deport her. So on October 2nd of last year, 2017, she went into sanctuary at the Mennonite Church. She's also wearing an ankle brace. And this is interesting, the ankle brace, because part of fascist regimes is taking care of your cronies, right? The your backers. So she has a GPS monitor on her ankle, not courtesy, they're charging heavily for this ankle bracelet. The GEO Group, a private company that contracts with correctional and detention services, such as the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE. So, to be expected, GEO Group gave generously to the Führer, Donald Trump, and were willing to go along with the Trump Uber Alles sentiment. So, they gave heavily to his campaign, and now they get to do the dirty work of evicting people. Some who came here very young, others that have children that were born in the USA and are American citizens, ripping them away from their husbands and their children. But they're making a lot of money. And that's really what Trump's about, making money for his friends. He has no trouble with immigrants. Ask his poor, long-suffering wife, the First Lady. So, and then his bizarre comment that, why can't we bring in Norwegians? Hey, I like Norwegians. I like Scandinavians. One of my favorite socialist, social democratic areas and territories where the nation states actually care about their citizens and less about who clapped for their leader or about military parades that Trump seems to be obsessed with. So Edith Espinal told the Free Press in the December issue, and again, I'm the editor-in-chief of the Columbus Free Press, that GEO Group has her ankle bracelet buzzing and going off at 6 o'clock in the morning. Not just Monday through Friday are they giving her a wake-up call, but on weekends. So, ICE has a policy of not going in unless designated by their supervisors into a church sanctuary. But it looks like they're trying to harass Edith Espinal. And I had the pleasure of going to a fundraiser for Edith on January 26th, her 117th day in sanctuary in the Columbus Mennonite Church. It's hosted by the International Socialist Organization. There was really good food, a lot of it vegan, vegetarian food from Food Not Bombs. There were silent auctions. Very talented people had donated art. There was open mic and music. And we were blessed to have both Edith and her husband speak, as well as a very profound analysis of this crisis brought on by Donald Trump, by Ruben Herrera, my good friend. So, that's what's happening. As fascism creeps into our country, first you get DeFuhrer Trump saying, "You must clap for me." Although I must admit it was funny when someone counted how many times Paul Ryan, the smug one, clapped for Obama. They said he clapped when Obama said, "God bless America and bless the troops," but didn't clap for any of his proposals. And by the way, this whole State of the Union was created by Woodrow Wilson, who happened to be one of our first political scientists at Princeton. When George Washington went over to speak to Congress for the first time, they locked him out. They wouldn't even pay for him to have a secretary. So the modern State of the Union address comes out of a book on the presidency written by the president of Princeton, Woodrow Wilson. So, and then it was altered dramatically. Hard to believe, but there used to be a time when the State of the Union actually analyzed the State of the Union. Go back and look at Jerry Ford's last State of the Union address. All of this was altered by Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan, you know, started this, bring in the props, where you find some kid, you know, Trump, some kid who liked flags, or, you know, the parents of somebody killed or nearly killed, finally dying in the U.S., who was tortured in North Korea. So, this is what's happening, this modern State of the Union. Trump thinks it's un-American for not clapping. Remember, never clap for the Führer. And we've got some tape from the event on January 26th. We're going to play that in a minute here, but let me remind you, this is WGRN, the Green Network, 94.1, your community radio. Okay, the last half of this show, we'll be listening to recordings from the January 26th fundraiser for Edith Espinal. Enjoy.
Well, tonight is special because we have student groups and community groups coming together to support Edith. The support for her is growing, and we're not going to win this case unless we have a growing number of support. And so we're seeing a more diverse group tonight. And what's important is kind of the intersection of struggles of sanctuary for Edith, of course, that's first and foremost, but also it's about other struggles in our community and our state. And so Edith knows that very well, and the people here, including y'all, understand that we're not going to win unless we win together. And so we're going to win Edith's case, we're going to win all together, but not without a fight and without a struggle.
How's that? And we have put on this event along with other co-sponsors here for Edith tonight, who's in Sanctuary. And essentially, you can ask yourself, why are you here tonight? And you're here because you want to show support and solidarity with someone who's 24/7 resisting the state. Come on stage and talk about her experience in Sanctuary, what it's been like living in Sanctuary, and then we'll hear a little bit about Ruben as well, and then I'll close it off, and then we'll get started with a night of art, and I hope everyone's like ready to dance. Woo! And hear some music. So yeah, if you can have Edith to the stage.
Good evening, everyone.
Quiero dar las gracias por estar aquí esta noche apoyándonos.
First, I'd like to thank all of you for being here in support of us.
Por regalarme un poco de tiempo de su vida y compartirlo con mi familia.
For the gift of your time and your willingness to share it with me and my family.
Para mí es importante que ustedes como jóvenes escuchen nuestra historia y nos apoyen.
For me, it's important for you who are young to hear my story and support us.
Me siento muy contenta y muy emocionada porque tengo entendido que muchos de ustedes son estudiantes de la Universidad de Ohio State.
I feel very happy and content that I understand that many of you are students at Ohio State University and other schools.
Y también pues a los miembros de la iglesia, quiero darles las gracias por permitirme estar aquí en Santuario.
And also I want to thank publicly the members of this church that you're in for allowing me to be able to stay here, to live here in Sanctuary.
Pues hoy, esta noche, estoy cumpliendo 117 días de estar aquí en Santuario.
Today is my 117th day living in Sanctuary.
Para mí ha sido un poco difícil estar aquí a veces sola.
I have to admit that for me it has been rather difficult to be here living alone.
De pasar días de a veces no poder ver a mis hijos.
It's many days that I'm not able to see my children and my family.
Y pienso que con el apoyo de todos ustedes vamos a ganar.
But I know that with the support of all of you, that we shall win, that I shall win.
Y espero en Dios pronto poder estar en casa con mis hijos y poder disfrutar con ellos.
And I hope to God that I will at some point soon be able to be with my children and my family 7 days a week and 24 hours a day. And I'd like to present to you my husband, Manuel Gonzalez, who would also like to share a few words of his experience.
Buenas noches a todos. Mi nombre es Manuel González Hernández. Soy esposo de Edith.
Good evening to all of you. My name is Manuel Hernández González Hernández. I am Edith's husband.
Pues solo quiero decirles que muchas gracias. Esto ha sido muy difícil para nosotros.
I too want to give you my thanks. This has been very difficult for me.
Ver cómo sufren mis hijos, pero a la vez ellos nos dan fuerza para luchar, para seguir unidos.
It's been difficult to see my children go through this, but at the same time, it's given us strength to be able to live through this and to win.
Quiero darle las gracias a todos por regalarnos su valioso tiempo. Para nosotros es muy importante que ustedes estén aquí el día de hoy.
And also want to thank each and every one of you for giving us your valuable time. It's for us, it's very, very important and very appreciated that you have given that to us tonight.
Y gracias de nuevo y espero que disfruten esta noche todo lo que va a pasar.
Again, thank you so much and I hope that we will have a good time. I hope you have a good time tonight. And really, the spirit of it is kind of like, now let's do it, you know. Gracias. So my name is Ruben Herrera, and I too want to thank the organizers for this event, the student groups, ISO, and all the groups that helped sponsor it and brought food, and there's art, and it's going to be a good time. And we were very excited because we have at least two or three planning meetings here with Edith and myself, and I was excited for a couple of reasons. One, let me just back up and let me just say that this has not been easy. Edith has said that, and I want to tell you also that right now you're looking at two freedom fighters in this city. Edith herself and her family are the only resistance that's happening. You heard her say she wants to be with her family back 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Right now she's resisting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from a system that's traumatizing, that's incarcerating, that's deporting. It's a cruel system that's called ICE, right, under this administration. And not only this administration, but the administrations that set that up as well. And so I feel humbled to be in her presence every day that I'm here. But I want to tell you that as you know, Edith's case is a very public case, right? You've read about it many times, and that's intentional. And so by Edith agreeing to do that, she has put herself at risk. She has made herself a target, right? And the irony about that in organizing is that as a public case, it assures that we know that those that we're fighting will know that people are here, the power of the people are going to be here to protect her and stand by her, right?
Yes.
And so you're standing here tonight with leaders of not only the immigrant justice movement, but how it intersects with black lives, how it intersects with queer lives, with trans lives, with people with a struggle that's happening in this city as well. And they understand that. Edith understands that. She's an organizer. She's an activist. And so it's with great respect that I stand here on the same stage, muchas gracias a los dos, to both of them, to their family, that I have great respect and honor for. And every day, it's a constant struggle. But we know that freedom is a constant struggle. But we will not rest. We will not rest till we win. And what's really neat about this tonight is that I see younger people here. And we will not win without you. And we will win. We will not win without everyone, but we will not win without you. All right. And so there's going to be probably times that we're going to call you in the middle of the night, and if we need to stand by Edith's side, because we don't know what will happen. ICE has said this is a place where they will not come in, but we just don't know, right? Right now she's protected. I'm assuming that we're all, not even now, I'm assuming we're all allies, right? We have to be, stand with her and protect her. And not only that, when we do that, we protect ourselves and the movement and the struggle that we all stand for, no? So thank you. We're going to have some good time tonight, no? So thank you so much for allowing us to be here tonight. Y ahora bailamos, eh? Si no gozas, no bailas. Okay, there we go.
Thank you, Ruben. Glenn. Thank you, Edith. I just wanted to speak a little bit more about, Ruben kind of said everything I was going to say about why we're here, but specifically about connecting the dots of our oppressions and our struggles. And too often getting caught up into our own lives and what's happening to us and why is this happening to me, and I feel this way because I'm XYZ, and then we don't connect the dots with other people's struggles. But we're all connected. I mean, just look around you. Look around you. Different people, different age, different race, different backgrounds. But we're all in this room right now. What does that say about the movement? What does that say about the movement that's possible to happen? Yeah. And it's possible. Because really when we put our minds to it, when we put our resources collectively, there are activists in the room that are fighting for different campaigns in the city and have co-sponsored together to be here for Edith. That speaks volumes. There could be things around police brutality in the city. Just in Columbus recently, how many deaths have we seen just in 2018 by CPD? How many people do we see in Linden wearing ankle monitor bracelets, the same that Edith is wearing tonight? How do we connect those struggles? How do we connect neighborhoods that are food deserts, that don't have access to food? And how do we connect movements that don't have access to homes? We need to be able to be the homes for those people and also be the bridges between these struggles. And this is a great opportunity tonight to be able to express that, but also connect with people in the room and say, what can I do? What are you doing? How can I be of help? So I'm hoping tonight that with the dancing involved and with the food, that there will be conversations about how we can bridge these struggles together. And we've created a zine that actually explains all of that. So if you have time to pick one up, we have copies in Spanish and English that you can take back to people who speak Spanish. And we're hoping to have also in other languages, so if you know some good translators or interpreters, definitely come and let us know. So I want to end this with a chant. I can't really think of one. The only one I can think of is... Sorry. I can only think of one that's in French that my dad taught me when it was a civil war in Côte d'Ivoire, and they were trying to topple the administration. And at the time, he went to a protest, and in French, the word topple down is abat, very, very simple, abat. So we could see like any oppression or struggle, right? So we could say, ice,
abat.
Okay. I want to hear, let's go in the audience and just hear some people, right? Does anyone have something they want to say? Okay.
I'm German.
El pueblo unido jamás será vencido. El pueblo unido jamás será vencido. El pueblo unido para. I may have heard those. I don't have it. El pueblo unido.
Thanks for listening to The Other Side of the News. This is Bob Fitrakis.
And Dan Dugan, WGRN 94.1 LPFM, The Green Renaissance.